RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
670 to score. That, I feel like that is the right kind of vibe for this week, which has no time construct. I don't care what day it is. You're allowed to wear whatever you want, eat whatever you want.
You know who we are.
We're not counting calories this week.
No.
We're living in a black hole.
Nothing counts this week. How many seasons of a TV show are you watching? Welcome to the time between Christmas and New Year's where nothing makes sense.
You know, I don't have Netflix. I got to my mom's house. Stranger Things, we're all the way through.
That's it. Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We have Adam Studs in today. Studs was doing the Open and the Take the North podcast last night. Grant Leader helping us out producing as well. What are you two giggling about over
here?
He
gave me the look that he claims I always give him, but I thought it was a perfect lead up to a Stranger Things Sunday night football game, which is what that was
kinda
last night.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you that.
I thought it was very Pac-12 after dark. R.I.P. R.I.P. to Pac-12 after dark. If you know, you know. Wild games, weird plays, starts late, West Coast, passing all over the place, no defense. You know, things happen like, I don't know, negating your own interception in the end zone with your own penalty, which C.G. Gardner-Johnson was right to say was a BS call. But the bottom line is, whatever you want to call it, best game of the week in the NFL and certainly a playoff preview. If that wasn't a playoff, like, that's the closest you're going to get to a playoff game before the real thing.
You say Pac-12, which is probably spot on, no doubt. You know what my comp was, what I was thinking about? I went older NFL. I went, remember the old San Diego Chargers, the Dan Fouts Chargers, when you turn on that late game after the noon games, at least around here, and you'd see these explosive offenses in these 39-38 games where it's just this, after watching the Bears slog through another, you know, run the football, play good defense, whether they were winning or not, then you turn on like a Dan Fouts offense, or even the Oakland Raiders back in the day.
The Raiders.
That's kind of what that felt like to me last night. And I was thrilled that the team that I watch and cover was able to play in that sandbox for once. I don't think I've ever seen the Bears play in that sandbox.
I was watching the game, and the whole time I was thinking, you know who would love this game? Usain Bolt would love this game. Carl Lewis would love
so
this game.
Right.
You know what? Jackie Joyner-Kersee, the greats, Jesse Owens, anybody who loves track and field would love this track meet, because at one point I was thinking to myself,
Willie Gault,
will the Bears get another turnover? Because that's the only way they could win this game. And it's not that I was right, because obviously they had a chance at the end of the game to win the game without forcing another turnover. It was just, this Bears offense, I think, has come of age, or come to the point where they can win different types of games, or at least be in a different type of game at the end.
Yeah, that's it. The year is 2025 for another few days. It is sexy time. And we don't have this, you know, one guard haircut 16-13 type of game we're talking about today. No, not today.
One guard
today,
haircut.
Today we're talking about a 42-38. Let the flow go. Get weird out there. All sorts of plays. The game went forever long because it was basically the West Coast spread, air raid, whatever you want to call that offense. Mano a mano. Your defensive sensibilities are offended. But the beauty is, Bears still hung with them. And that is one of the best teams in the NFL that we just saw. And it confirmed my suspicions that the NFC West is the best division in football. And we may have another rematch of this later. And if so, game on.
And the beautiful thing about it is the way that the Bears have played. and understanding, if you had watched the last two 49ers game, and I did, leading into this game, and understood that Brock Purdy had thrown for four touchdowns in each of those games, you understood the behemoth that the 49ers offense is with Kyle Shanahan on the strings, right? Dialing up what he wants to dial up and seeing if Dennis Allen had any way to slow down, stop, negate what was going on. The answer is he did not. And we found that out the hard way. But I think what's interesting about this is that you saw arguably the two best play callers in the game today going toe-to-toe, and really it was like a long heavyweight fight, and I loved every bit of it. But at the same time, can they just, you know, we used to talk about lose normal, can they win normal? Can they get a game maybe this week or maybe even in the playoffs where they just win a game where you're not at the very last second wondering what's going to happen? At the very last play, what's going to happen?
Hey, at least it didn't take the Bears offense until the fourth quarter, or Caleb Williams until the fourth quarter to get going.
Still took too long.
Well, there were two, three and outs to begin the game, but Caleb Williams was excellent in this game. He was absolutely terrific. This game should be up for consideration for his best game of the year. Mm-hmm. He was 25 of 42, 330 yards, a couple of touchdowns, did not turn the ball over, zero interceptions. He has the delicious 35-yard play down the middle to Luther Burden for a touchdown to tie it at 14, and then the free play to Colston Loveland to tie it at 21. That is good coaching on the part of Ben Johnson. Everything that he did on that play, Caleb Williams, go for the big shot, control your receiver down the field, get the play you want. It was textbook and perfectly handled by Caleb Williams. And I'm just scratching the surface with those two touchdown plays. Those are the easy ones to look at. But he made some big, big, huge third down and fourth down throws in that game. He was terrific yesterday.
Well, it was the first time this season he's thrown over 300 yards.
Yes.
So kudos to Caleb Williams. He also was not sacked, and we knew that the 49ers were down a complement of their linebacking core. You know, we saw Fred Warner, for example, in the pregame interview. You know, no Bosa, obviously. The 49ers were without their full complement of players on the offensive side as well. Trent Williams goes down, as we see. No George Kittle, who had 151 yards against the Bears last season. But I say all of that to say, once again, you still have to face what you see on the field against you. And for the Bears to really improve on what their aspects of improvement were, which is things like you just said, Mark, take the free shot downfield. You know, don't be afraid to throw the ball downfield, air it out on a free play. Don't be afraid to throw the ball downfield, even against the 49ers, when you have the opportunities to do so, which we also saw. That's a step in the right direction for this offense, like just from a building standpoint. But then to be able to also, again, go toe-to-toe with the 49ers in Santa Clara, who had just scored 48 points against the Colts, and then you take it down to the very last drive where the 49ers know and Kyle Shanahan knows that the Bears might have been given too much time to score. That's where the level has been increased.
I want to ask you this question. At the end of that game, did you feel like the Bears were going to win the game when you saw three timeouts, over 2 minutes remaining, and the Bears need a touchdown to win the game? Not a field goal, but a touchdown to win the game. What was the feeling seeing it? What, the six comebacks, which is the most in NFL history with under 2 minutes to play by the Bears so far this season? Did you feel like number seven was going to happen?
I felt like they had a real shot, and I felt the same way Ben Johnson apparently felt, and that is you cannot leave 1 second left on that clock. You cannot.
And he didn't.
Yeah, and he did not. You must win the game. I did think the Bears were going to have a chance. Of course I thought the Bears were going to have a chance. But the last no go.
Well, and that's the hard part. And listen, for all of the fun that a 42-38 game is, we know that the defense did not show up in this game. Like that's the flip side of this. You know, the defensive standard was not there yesterday. If they get a couple more stops in this game, we're talking about something different. Now, granted, the 49ers had quite the streak. We figured out they went 24 drives in between punts. But you want to see that Bears defense that they paid heavily for in the offseason come through. You want to see a pass rush. And that was part of it, too, with no Trent Williams. Austin Booker should have not been the only guy showing out yesterday. You know, that's the hard part of this, is knowing that the offense did what it could, but the resources that were spent on the defense, you wanted a better look out of it. Now, credit to TJ Edwards on the pick six. You needed those. You needed every one of those 7 points there that were scored because of it, but this wasn't a good game for the defense whatsoever.
No, after that initial play, the first play of the game.
And what a dynamite moment that is, though. That we should stop a moment and appreciate that because, yeah, the defense sucked. It was a bad night for the defense. It really was.
But
God.
Jalen Johnson.
A moment like that, you just got to stop. Like, everybody's jumping off their couches. It's like mini Super Bowl moment. Devin Hester running it back for the touchdown to start the Super Bowl. It's like that sort of just, oh, my, you're not even in your seat. You're not even really prepared for the Bears or anybody to make a play yet, and then it happens. There, I appreciated the moment. You were saying?
No, the moment is good. The problem was that was the highlight of the defense.
I know.
You can't start like that and then have what happens ensue in the manner that it did, in which it felt like. Like I said, watching the game, if they can't get a turnover, because they certainly weren't going to, like, put the 49ers behind the sticks all night. That was never an option, knowing what we know about Montez Sweat and the highly paid guys, and just the fact that it seemed like the Niners had them backpedaling the entire night. That's what it was. The Bears defense was backpedaling, and that might translate from the sidelines or up top when you talk about what Dennis Allen was unable to create, which was havoc, chaos, indecision. The Niners were in control of that game offensively whenever the Bears defense was on the field.
Well, and again, like I said, it's not like they weren't doing this. You know, that game on Monday Night Football, I watched intently against the Colts because you want to get the full preview of what they were doing. And you got the full Brock Purdy experience yesterday, too.
Very good.
You got the pick six. And then you got the option run, for example, very Pac-12 after dark, that run option touchdown after the interception that got called back. And again, I agree with CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. I also think that in the words that he used on Twitter, it was a BS call because it was incidental. But whatever, hands hit the face, I get it. That said, though, Brock Purdy showed you why he's getting paid what he's getting paid this year. You know, there was a debate about whether or not he was worth more than $50 million annually, and you saw why they paid that man in that game. Like, it was the Bears and the Niners 49. I would like to say this. It was the 49ers Bears Superman meme, Mark. As much as we've explained the Superman meme to you, did you finally kind of experience it last night?
I gave you the heart emoji, I think, when you put out the Spider-Man thing. And that was me saying, I get it. I'm in on it now because you guys finally explained it to me. But yeah, Brock Purdy was excellent. It probably shouldn't have been as easy as he made it look, like the 38-yard pass to Juwan Jennings to ultimately win the game. But we talked about it a little bit before we came on. The play to Kyle Juszczyk, it was the most spectacular play of the night. That's where Austin Booker is sprinting at Brock Purdy towards the sideline. He eludes Austin Booker, but then takes a step up and just kind of slides between Austin Booker and Big Bill, Andrew Billings, and then finds his guy Juszczyk right there in the front part of the end zone. You had to be like, that's a sick play. I don't care if you're a Bears fan.
If you remember in the text, I was like, so he's out here out Calebing Caleb Williams with his fluidity and movement within the pocket and then outside of the pocket. And he was making plays with both his feet. And then the threat of his feet creates a touchdown like that.
The scramble drill.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great on the scramble. As much as we talk about Caleb Williams on the scramble, and he was excellent yesterday, Brock Purdy also showed you what he can do.
Yeah, Brock Purdy is absolutely a couple of running touchdowns as well for him. So both quarterbacks were just absolutely nonstop last night. What did he end up with? 300 and, oh, here it is. 24. This is Brock Purdy. 24 of 33, 303. Caleb Williams, 25 of 42, 332 TDs and zero interceptions. Who had the better game? Is it Purdy just by an eyelash?
It's Purdy.
Is it more than
an eyelash.
Okay,
couple of reasons. Even though he gave up the pick six, I'll say this. Purdy accounted for 5 touchdowns in this game. Look at his accuracy numbers. If Caleb Williams' accuracy numbers were like Brock Purdy in terms of percentage, the Bears probably win this game.
I'd say based on the fact that he had a more consistent first half outside of the pick six. you know, you could say Brock Purdy.
He had a rushing game behind him, too. The 49ers outrushed the Bears 173-46 in the first half.
Christian McCaffrey had 140 yards rushing at the half,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, they had 100 and...
Well, he had 140 total yards from the line of scrimmage. I think it was like 120-something.
It was 121 at the half. Yeah. So here's the interesting thing about that. In the first half, the Niners ran the ball 26 times for 173 yards. That's a 6.7 average. They also ran for 3 touchdowns in that game. The problem is the Bears only ran the ball 7 times for 46 yards. That's 6.6. So that's just a tenth of a yard less per carry than the Niners. But they just weren't on the field. The Bears, they out here running 19 plays total in the first half. Christian McCaffrey had 20 touches in the first half. One man, more touches than the Bears had offensive plays run.
Well, and you know what the 49ers do against zone coverage. Like, that's the other part of this. That's why I know Dennis Allen is working with what he's got, but there were some exposures. You know, I thought on a couple of those Christian McCaffrey runs, didn't you feel like the Josh Jacobs run for the 21 yards on third and one all over again
yeah.
in the first game against Green Bay? I'm like, guys, not all of you can miss like this on some of these runs. And, you know, unfortunately, guys like Andrew Billings got exposed in the run game a little bit. You know, Jalen Johnson, even after helping on the tip drill interception from TJ Edwards, he did not have his best game. There were some defensive assignments that the 49ers frankly took advantage of when it came to where the linebackers moved in zone play and zone look, and they checked out of almost every blitz, which was scary.
Well, that's the part where you're like, okay, somebody get pressure, but anytime they blitz, it was an easy fix, an even solvable equation for one Brock Purdy. And you're wondering, okay, if you can't stop him with the blitz, if you can't stop him with your four up front, if you can't stop him with the zone, what else could the Bears have done?
Well, and I just want to also add this. You know, that's after your Hall of Fame left tackle goes down. You know, that's what made this tough. So there's a lot to get into with this game, and we want to do it with you. We are also going to take your calls. You know our number, and if you don't, it is 312-644-6767. We'll take calls here at our 1045 segment. You can text us as well. A lot of you have been doing so. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We're sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles. This, by the way, is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday brought to you by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We are happy to celebrate it with you, even though, yeah, about that final score, a 42-38 loss to the 49ers. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news on the Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Adam Studzinski with our open. He also co-hosted the Take the North podcast last night. TTN. The North has been taken.
GTA.
Grant Leader is helping with our producing as well.
Man.
You can join us on YouTube, 670 The Score is our address there, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Connor O'Donnell minding our Twitch chat. He is our Twitch moderator. And our video team is Jacob Stutz and Max Curtis. And coming up next, we'll hear from what Ben Johnson had to say regarding the end of that track meet game last night. And I think we've got to get into what the difference might have to be moving forward for the Bears now that we know they're a playoff team
with a bad defense. Let's go.
Feels good, doesn't it? Except for that whole bad defense thing.
They did. RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. and the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good job building the lead there, you know, down by 7 at halftime. We couldn't stay on the field on offense. We were 0 for 3 on third downs. They were 5 for 7 on third downs in that first half. And yet, second half, I did feel like we picked up our game a little bit as a team. And, you know, we closed that gap and we made it to where we could potentially win that thing there at the end. So I was proud of the guys for that. But it just wasn't enough. And when you go on the road against a good team like that, you got to be on top of your mess the entire time. And we just weren't.
Yeah, something tells me Ben Johnson didn't want to say mess, but he made it G-rated for the kids because he cares.
Trick a lot of kids.
We do too. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Following a Bears 42-38 loss to the 49ers in what was an absolutely entertaining game, but head coach tells you it just, at the end of the day, wasn't enough, and that was the difference. The Bears got down to the final seconds of the game yet again, but unfortunately came up short.
Is it bad that I believe that the opening seconds of the game is what really decided this one? Because you are playing catch up and got to keep up every time they score. You got to score because you went 3 and out. And he brought it up with the 0-3. Yeah, 3 and out twice. 0-3 in the first half. The fact that the game was as close as it was when you have not converted a third down tells me two things. One, you got to work on that third down offense. Two, man, you must have some really explosive plays and not have to worry about third down, but three times and still be within the touchdown of your opponent.
Well, and also akin to that Packers loss that we saw the first time around, explosive plays were the name of the game for the 49ers. Like that was part of what kept their offense on the field. And yes, it was a small victory and an important one in this game that the 49ers finally had to punt in the calendar month of December.
They punted twice
against the Bears. Yes, that was actually huge. And relative to the rest of the league who couldn't get it done against them this month, that is notable.
Thomas Morstead was out here literally saying, guys, can you guys give me something to do because of what level of success they had in their previous two games against the Colts and then the Titans, who are inferior teams at this point of the season. You got to remember the Colts started 6-2 and have lost 6 in a row. But at the same time, the Bears forcing two punts is not enough. You've got to find a way to get off the field on third down. And when you're giving up the running, the gashing, remember, because you watched that Colts game, I know you know this about the 49ers, they have not had a good season running the football. This is like a turning point for them.
They haven't had to. But they took advantage of the Bears' run defense. And at some points, I don't know about you guys during this game, but especially when Christian McCaffrey was just knocking bodies over, especially up the middle.
Like just fall forward.
That's when it's extra insulting, when you just run the ball right up the middle. Like there's no concept with the run. Now, granted, they ran inside zone very well, and there were some really nice cutback lanes. But you're basically telling the other team, we don't care about your run defense. We don't care who's in front of us. We're going to do this today, whether or not you like it.
The first half of that game, you know what it reminded me of?
Ashton Gentry and the Raiders?
No, it reminded me of Black Friday. Yeah. It reminded me of Black Friday, but this time the Bears were on the receiving end of just getting just absolutely pummeled up front.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. And you know, at this point, it's the Bears' defense is not going to get a whole lot better. I mean, there's only one or two things that you could point to in terms of, like, Kyler Gordon, if he returns, if Jalen Johnson continues to progress and getting back to where he was. At this point, there are not a lot of things that you could do personnel-wise to be better. So much of this now, like it has all season for this defense, it feels like, falls on Dennis Allen. And we know that Dennis Allen is a good defensive coordinator, has been without a lot of players this year. He has not found out a way, Dennis Allen now, has not figured out a way to scheme his team up to get to the quarterback quarterback more, to get better pressure, and to consistently stop the run. So it is so big now, maybe too much on the plate of Dennis Allen for this final game, whatever it turns out to be against Detroit, starters playing or not. Get into that. In the playoffs, man, ooh, Dennis Allen got to do some serious scheming and maybe some surprises.
Well, what was something that was said, Mark, earlier in the season when it came to the lack of pass rush that we saw out of this very pricey Bears defensive line? He said, we've got to get Montez winning more of his one-on-one battles,
yep.
Which is an indictment as much as it is anything else. But unfortunately, we didn't see that. Now, Brock Purdy was sacked once, which is more than Caleb Williams was sacked in this game, and every single yard counted.
Six sack, too, by Austin Booker. It was just like you could hear the Jaws music playing as he's running up to Purdy, and Purdy just ducks. Ding, ding. Ducks at the last second. He just kind of goes down, or else he would have just completely gotten slaughtered there. But the point is taken, Layla. We can't look at a game and be like, remember the one sack they had in the game? Can't do that.
Well, especially when you consider so many times, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen comments from people saying, oh, well, they need to improve this defense in the offseason. They need to get it right. Look at how much money is committed to this team defensively, especially on the line. And you tell me where the wiggle room is, especially knowing that you paid quality money for guys like Joe Tooney and Drew Dahlman, and you trade, you know, you also get Jonah Jackson, for example, and you try to extend those guys. You tell me how you're gonna make sense of that come the offseason. That's a problem that we'll see later on, but for everybody who says that right now, understand that you're going to have to work with this and create some better solutions than what we saw yesterday.
The main thing I'm curious about is because they have some decisions they have to make with some personnel who are up for extensions and even in contract years on the defensive side of the ball.
Tyreek Stevenson, et cetera. Nashawn Wright. Yep.
So looking at that one, and by the way, Nashawn Wright, like we missed this time, or I missed this time, where we could talk about the fact that he got snubbed for the Pro Bowl or whatever. But I look at the other players that got selected over him, I'm like, no, they're better than him. Except for the turnover thing, which is a big thing, but on a consistency basis, he gets beat a lot.
Yeah.
He gets beat a lot.
Right. I did not have a problem with Sean not making the Pro Bowl.
Exactly. Right. And so to answer your question about how do they get better, I mean, it's going to be the antithesis of the quote-unquote Ben Johnson draft is what it's going to have to be, where the amount of resources they poured into offense in this draft, where we're all like, wait, what? Position redundancy, all that? You're going to have to get studs in the draft for defense, because other than that, I don't know how to get
Studs
underneath.
Is right here. Well, yeah,
Studs is right there. He's right there.
You don't have to draft him. He's here.
We have possession of him. Maybe we'll loan him to the Bears.
Look what you invested last year, though. I mean, you went out, you paid Dio Dangbo. You're in the midst of a huge contract with Montez Sweat. You drafted a guy in the second round, Shamar Turner, who hopefully is still going to be a player. You're still leaning on development with Jervon Dexter to some degree. Development's probably not the right word. Just progression in his game, for sure. Like, you don't look at him and say, yeah, no doubt about it, he's the dude. So they just haven't gotten what they thought they would get. Grady Jarrett, another example of a guy.
Believe that Grady Jarrett was, I feel like maybe 2 weeks ago was the first time I saw him be healthy.
Maybe.
I don't think we're to a healthy Jalen Johnson yet.
Yeah, we're not.
All right, so then,
because of what we saw in the game yesterday, can you say that?
I hate to take a page out of the Cubs book. I hate to do that. But can't you see a world in which they look at the turnovers, like the Cubs look at their totality of run production, and say, see, we're a good defense, just like the Cubs think that they're a good offense, like a top-tier offense.
Tyler Austin, bro.
This team is a bottom five defense in all the metrics except for the turnovers thing. Right?
Tyler Austin.
You really brought that up, huh? You felt like we had
just trying to think of somebody they brought in the offseason to help the offense or whatever.
Oh,
Tyler
my
Austin
God,
does.
I'm not right. See, so, this was percolating in our pre-show meeting.
Hobie Milner.
No.
All the Rangers relievers.
No. Hey, Caleb Thielbar is back. Caleb Thielbar is back.
He earned his spot coming back.
You're damn right he did. I like Caleb.
Enough
He's
of
good.
This. This
yeah.
Is, no, we're not doing
this. Oh, we're not
this.
Doing it. Okay.
You know what?
It's my fault.
For how many years in a row? How many years were we like talking about the draft in the offseason on December
29th? We're not talking about the Cubs.
We're not talking about the draft.
They have taken the North. We are not going to talk about the offseason yet. We have a whole playoff that we can talk about, and we're so conditioned to this.
No, to your point, Layla, though, about what we usually talk about versus what we're supposed to be talking about right now, is the Bears have clinched the North, people. They have taken it. And I don't I don't know if they're giving it back. I can't answer that question, but they're not giving it back for another year. I can tell you that.
They gave it back in the last two times they won the division the next year.
Okay, so we'll get to that part, but I do think looking at this defense right now and knowing this is what you're headed to the playoffs with, you tell me how many of the other teams in the NFC playoffs you believe this defense can play well enough to get the Bears advanced.
That's the beauty of this game. This is really a choose your own stat, pick your own adventure, choose your own adventure, avoid some stuff if you want. Pick your poison game. You can say to yourself, this was a playoff game. You can say quarterback did the best he could driving his team down the field and making up for a multitude of issues that happened earlier in the game, not on his part necessarily, but the team. You know, he did the best he could. He showed you real progress. You could also say that whole we're playing our best ball in December thing certainly showed up yesterday.
Yeah.
You could say the defense wasn't good enough for the playoffs. You could say here's what we need to work on in the offseason. There are so many different answers you can have from watching this game that leads you to knowing what you need as a team or what you feel like you can focus on. That's the beauty of having a game like this against that opponent on the road.
It's refreshing, by the way, to do that on the road as an offense and know that Caleb Williams has come that far from the beginning of the season. At the same time, this defense is trash right now, and I think when I was watching the game in person, much like Mark Grody, but with less humane conditions, we'll say, against the Packers when they won that game, going into the final stretch where they actually came back and of course tied it and then forced overtime and then won the game in overtime, I was like, this is who the Bears defense is without a multitude of turnovers. Guess what? This is another example of who the Bears defense is without a multitude of turnovers. And the teams they're going to play starting maybe this week, but definitely at, because they got all their turnovers out of their system this past week, the Detroit Lions. Going forward, if you can't force turnovers, you tell me how they're stopping anybody.
And guys,
well, they did force a punt.
If the Bears, and they did, you know, they gave up 16 points to the Packers. If the Bears beat Detroit on Sunday,
yes,
the Green Bay Packers are back at Soldier Field. Bring me the Packers. And I know a lot of people listening to me right now, like, no, Grody, no.
Three times in
no.
a season?
Do you see the other options? Definitely bring you the Packers.
Bring that to... No, but what I'm saying is I love the idea of the Bears playing the Packers again at Soldier Field. And what a beautiful... And I know it's risky. It's a big, huge risk all the time.
It's less risky than the Niners or the Seahawks or the Rams.
Absolutely.
Can we at least understand among us that you don't want to see the NFC West right now?
Exactly.
Not in its current state.
Agreed.
That's why,
like,
I'm saying.
Agreed.
All three of you, I'm avoiding.
Yeah.
That's my point.
No, your point is well taken. My point is a little bit more meatball-y. Yeah. Bring me the Packers for a third time this year. If the Bears could take it, can I do a Cubs analogy now? It would remind, if the Cubs were to get, excuse me.
That's a bad analogy. That's the one I think you're about to say.
If the Bears were to get that scenario and they get the Packers and they beat the Packers, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Cubs doing what they did to the St. Louis Cardinals in the year 2015, bouncing them out.
What about
the
Cubs did more recently, in which they won the season series and then they got beat down by the Brewers in the actual playoffs?
I'm not talking about the recent Cubs. I'm talking about the 2015. I was there. You weren't. I don't know why I'm turning into Grobber as we speak right now.
Because you do.
Take the break.
All right. We're going to collect our thoughts.
I do turn into Grobber, but I caught myself that time.
Hey, this is a time of year where I really do think about Grobber. So I think that's the right thing
to
do.
We should be. For Grobber, another game against the Packers at Soldier Field.
I was there.
That's right. I see you, Grobber.
Good call, Studs. We want to know what you think as well. How do you feel about this game? I said you can choose your own stat in this. You can choose your own theme. There are a lot to choose from, and we want to know what you think. 312-644-6767. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by BC Bank and Great Clips. Join us next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is from Ian Rappaport, Bears linebacker Noah Sewell, who has been a key part of the defense, especially with all the injuries to the position, is believed to have torn his Achilles, sources say. He will have an MRI to confirm right before he was to play his brother, Lions offensive tackle Penei Sewell. Noah is out. They did not diagnose it last night on the broadcast, Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, but they all but did. The number one rule as a broadcaster, you're told, do not diagnose something. That's not your job. You're not a doctor. But looking at the Achilles and seeing what happened, it being a non-contact play there, you saw and were concerned after he got taken off on the cart.
And lucky for the Bears, as much as we're talking about how bad the defense was yesterday, they do have good depth that they have proven at linebacker this year. And of course, Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards are back. DeMarco Jackson has been a revelation for the Bears. Amen Ogbogbamiga should be good to go as well to provide the depth needed. But yeah, that sucks. I mean, Noah Sewell found a place with the Bears this year, unlike his first couple of years in the league, or first, is this a second year or third year? But he hadn't really done much previous to this year.
Third year, I think
that's right.
Well,
Lila.
Drafted 2023.
Yep. Okay. That is correct.
Let's go to our phones. 312-644-6767. Unfortunate news. Let's start with Max in what is this, Hanover Park? I think it's Hanover Park, isn't it? Sorry, Grant. You did a lovely job screening the calls. It's just tiny font and there's a glare. So let's go to Max. Max, you're on The Score.
So she said.
Okay, great. The 49ers are an elite offense. If you look at they had two punts in December. It was us on our defense. And on top of it, Shanahan and Ben Johnson are both the same guy. I mean, the offense is running out of formations that they do different things out of. And I just think that with our defense wasn't as lacking as you might think, actually.
Well, Max, unfortunately, anytime you give up 496 yards as a team, it's not ideal. But you're right. To force the 49ers into punts that they hadn't seen in a calendar month is nothing to sneeze at.
I'm not giving that kind of credit to a team that didn't punt against the Titans and the Colts. Those teams are not supposedly on the same level as a division champion. So let's hold our standard just a little bit higher. Okay,
500 total yards.
Giving up 500 yards is not great.
They rushed for 200 yards.
I'm no expert here, but I just don't think that's great.
What I'll give the caller is right now the San Francisco offense is playing extraordinarily, and even without George Kittle, they look like right now maybe the best offense over the last couple of weeks in the NFL. I will say that, but so much of it is still inexcusable. You cannot do what you did if the 49ers or the Bears defense as easily as you did it. I mean, they just made it look way too easy.
Let's go to Jeff on 294 because he picked up where we left our conversation during our commercial break. Hey, Jeff.
Hi. Obviously, I didn't hear that, but I'm wondering if there's any chance in hell that you think the Bears could actually maybe trade for Max Crosby, because he's not happy in New Orleans after they made him sit. in an effort to get the first pick.
No, he's not happy in Las Vegas after we saw, and we were watching the videos of him on the trampoline and playing basketball with his daughter.
Any chance in hell, Marshall? Is there any chance in hell? The caller wants to know, so I am putting it on your
There's
lap.
There's definitely a chance in
hell?
Hades.
Yes. In Hades, okay.
No, listen, because
hell.
Last I checked, the Bears haven't gotten the pressure caller on anybody all season to a satisfactory level when you're talking about the teams that they do well against as far as pass rush versus the teams they don't do well against as far as pass rush. It's good against not-so-good teams. It's terrible against the teams you need them to be good
against.
Do you
know how I feel about trades? You have to throw the most extreme ones out there first, and then your brain resets. So that's what has to happen. And what did I say to you, Marshall, in the break when we were talking about Max Crosby? If the Bears somehow got him, Super Bowl. Like, the end period paragraph, like, I'm done.
That is certainly the expectation. That is, and I don't think this is the most extreme like version of a trade. I think this is a realistic trade target.
I mean, the problem is the assets that you have to give up. I mean, but I don't mind the conversation, because when you saw what happened with him over the weekend, I think a lot of teams and fans thought the exact same thing. Let's go to Tony and Joliet. Tony, you're on with Raheemy Harris and Grody.
Hey, Layla, Marshall, Grody.
Tony.
I love you guys. It was such a fun game. It's disappointing we were a couple feet away from Caleb completing a miracle again, and the show would have been totally different today. But first thing, guys, I sent you a Christmas gift for all you guys, and I put it in a UPS package, and I addressed it to Ray. I was just wondering if you got it, and then I'll make a Bears comment.
Is that why Ray isn't here today? Did he steal the box and run away?
No, and Tony, thank you very much. That was a very, very thoughtful gift, so thank you. Having self-defense tools and a little hammer to get yourself out of a car is a very important thing to have, so that was really
thanks,
cool.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks to all of
you guys are welcome. You know, I just retired cop, and I was just like, if I could do a little thing, if you're having a bad situation, to help you, hopefully you're never there. But, yeah, I just want to say, you know, piggyback off what Grody said, literally, when that play happened in 15 seconds, I was like, oh, because I'm an old school Bears fan. I'm like, it's going to be the Devin Hester game. It wasn't. I mean, it turned out beautiful. But, you know, guys, I wouldn't trade any quarterback in the league for Caleb. And there's not a team, because we're going to beat Detroit next week, and there's not a team that's going to want to play the Bears. But the team we're going to get is going to be Green Bay. Bring them on, and let's put all their fans on suicide watch. Have a great day, guys.
Wow.
You know, Tony,
that escalated quickly.
Yeah, I will say this, though. The Green Bay fan replies in any one of our social medias have been sad and funny at the same time. It's like failed attempts at trash talk that don't actually work. And like at the end of the day, I live in Chicago. Scoreboard. Every time.
And there are even attempts to be hateful, some, not all. It's hilarious.
I love it. Hey, we have their attention. I love it. And they're, you know, they're playing a little catch up right now. They're playing a little chase for the Bears. So if we are under the skin of Packers fans, this is a good thing. Enjoy it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, it's about damn time the pendulum swung the other
just
way.
Just a little bit.
Oh, do I bother you? Do I affect you?
Mm-hmm.
Does my existence concern you? Do you think about me when you shouldn't? Tough scene.
I like when they think about me.
Was that a movie scene you just did?
No, that was just me trolling.
Okay. I felt like it was like a very dramatic scene in a movie there.
Isn't that kind of the idea today?
Yeah.
Like I said, this week doesn't count. Time and space don't matter.
It really doesn't.
This whole week is
what happens
dramatic.
Tomorrow? We'll be here tomorrow, right?
Yes.
All three of us?
Yes. Don't look for me after that, though.
Then you guys will not be here Wednesday? Is that what I'm to believe?
That's when you just...
Gabe and I take over the show for one day and one day only, and then we're all off.
Wait, was Gabe in San Francisco?
He was!
Gabe is everywhere.
Yeah.
He takes a trip every year, and this was his trip.
Yeah, because I saw Herb Lawrence and Gabe at a tailgate, and I'm like, wait a second. The Bears aren't here.
Ooh, I'm going to get the goods from Gabe on his trip to San Francisco. Make sure everybody came out of it okay, if you know what I'm saying. You know Gabe.
I know San Francisco fans also.
That too.
I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody's calls. Breaking news, unfortunately, kind of derailed that. We are taking calls again at 12:45. So if we miss you, call back. And if you don't have time to call back, call our meatball machine. That segment's coming to you at 1:45 today. You can go to the Odyssey app, leave a voice message, give us your thoughts, and we appreciate everybody chiming in. Unfortunately, the news about Noah Sewell, Ian Rappaport reporting, the fear is it is a torn Achilles, which is terrible. So we will wait for official word from the Bears as well.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.